Okay. Acts chapter 24. Let's look at verse 24. Now, watch a great trick the mother does today. In verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, Paul's in custody, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Notice, Felix sends for Paul. Now, people say and used to think this, oh, he wanted to hear about how to get saved. No, as you see in verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. He's looking for a bribe. But the Apostle Paul, think about it, I'm sure he could have gathered up some money of the brethren and got out. He didn't do it. What he did was now he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, here the Apostle Paul, in custody, has the opportunity to tell some things to a lost man. And watch what he does. And as he, Paul, in verse 25, reason. Paul is the great reasoner. Romans chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, there's tremendous reasoning that you see. So if you're in school and you've been through those chapters, remember how the Apostle Paul reasoned in the book of Romans with lost people as he's explaining his gospel. I know he wrote it to save people, but it's supposed to be told to lost people. The first four chapters, and Paul was explaining his gospel to the believers at Rome who had been saved under the different gospel that came before Paul. They were saved under Peter's gospel. They were already in Christ before Paul. Now, notice what Paul does. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, what happened? Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time, for when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Notice the three things Paul reasoned with: righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Paul didn't say this, "Well, you know what? I got this lost guy. I think I'm going to just reason with righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come." No, go back to John 16. Paul understood how God the Holy Spirit dealt with unsaved people. In John chapter 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, the believer. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, the believer. And when he is come, the Comforter to the believer, he," that's God the Holy Spirit, watch this, "will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." God the Holy Spirit's job in the lives of unsaved people is to reprove them. That means to charge them with a crime to their face. Reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So the Apostle Paul knew this, and the great soul winner that he was. Go back with me to Acts 24, 24. Look at verse 25 now. "And as he reasoned of righteousness," you don't have any, Felix, "and there is none righteous, no, not one." That's Romans 1, 2, 3 true. Then you need the righteousness of God. Temperance. Notice the specific sin of temperance. You see, the law is good if a man use it lawfully, 1 Timothy 1 says. And you see that whole list of who the law is for? It's not made for a righteous man, but for the unrighteous, for murderers and liars and perjured persons. And all the list that goes down there, specific sins are mentioned. Because when you deal with unsaved people, you got to tell them about the crimes they have committed against God Almighty, their sins. You can't just say you're a sinner. You got to tell them the crime. Just like when a bad guy goes to court, he needs to know the crime against them. All right, that's how it operates in this world. Same thing in the Lord. He's going to tell you the exact crime. So Paul knew that Felix had a problem with temperance, self-control. And he deals with that specific sin of his lack of self-control. All right? And judgment to come. So the three areas that God the Holy Spirit deals in: sin, righteousness, and judgment, which is Romans 1, 18 to 320. That's why in Romans 1, 18 to 320, there's 64 verses of evil tidings that deal with sin, righteousness, you don't have any, and judgment's coming. You see how God lays it out? So, that's what Paul did. So how does the mother do things today? The mother has all these goofy, dolt, blockhead, unestablished so-called preachers out there that are probably not even saved themselves, telling people, "God loves you," and all this. And even the ones who do understand truth, they just say, "If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you'd like to have all your sins forgiven, you've got to understand, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And they go through this little canned salesman presentation. Listen, someone said to me on Facebook, "Why does he take 3 hours? and showing and teaching the lost man about his sin. He takes it and he just makes it so long. 3 hours, that ain't long enough. Let me tell you, they are under so much scum out there from Satan and the mother. I taught Romans 1, 2, 3, and 4 for lost people. That's what they need to hear. What do you take, 3 seconds? How many people you led to salvation? None. You see, that's really the truth. You can't just tell me, hey, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Jesus died for you. Believe in Jesus, have faith in his blood, you're saved. Okay, got it, next. The mother totally perverts this. Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered. Look at verse 25. Go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul. So notice the mother. Here, as the false religious leaders have gotten Paul now mixed up with the government was looking for a bribe. You see that? Oh, really? Oh, I don't believe that. Yeah. Okay, go thy way for this. Now look at verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Look at that. He keeps sending for Paul, looking for that bribe. But after 2 years, 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Notice the governmental ruler, Felix, he's leaving office, he's retiring. Here comes Festus, but willing to show the Jews a pleasure. The government seeks to please the false religious system. You see that? Right there. That's what the mother's doing. Horrible but true. Acts 25, moving on, verse 1. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him. Notice, here comes the false religious system again, mixing with government and trying to get Paul, okay? And desired favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. So now they want to have him transferred. Okay, bring him back to Jerusalem so they can kill him along the way. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down into Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews, which came down from Jerusalem, stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul. Look at this, which they could not prove. The false religious system will heap charges against you, grievous complaints to the government mixed together, and they can't even prove them. They can't even prove them. That's what the mother does today. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Now remember, you're in the book of Acts. You're seeing Paul. This is where you see a lot of Paul's dealings as he's caught and entangled now with the mother by getting mixed up with the false religious system and the government. The mother has got Paul in her web. Okay, Acts chapter 26, look at verse 9. Acts 26, 9. I verily thought with myself, Paul talking here to Agrippa, that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme and being exceedingly mad against them. That's not angry, that's crazy. I persecuted them even unto strange cities. As Paul recounts what he was as Saul of Tarsus. Okay, the chief of sinners, killing believers. You get insight into what the mother was using him for. And as the Lord Jesus Christ says, to them who have much forgiven, the same loveth much. That's why Paul loved him so much. He had a lot to be forgiven for. Verse 17, Christ talking to Paul, very insightful here into the mother. The Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is recounting in front of King Agrippa what Jesus Christ said to him on the road to Damascus. We get more details. And in verse 17 here now, Jesus Christ, well, look at verse 16, but rise and stand upon thy feet. Paul is saying this of what Christ has said to him when he was saved. For I, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, have appeared unto thee, Paul, for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Watch this. delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Jesus Christ saved Paul from the Jews and the Gentiles, a false religious system, and he now sends them unto the Gentiles. Verse 18, watch verse 18 clearly, to open their eyes. Jesus Christ understands how to lead unsaved people to salvation. And he tells your apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles of all the nations today, including Israel, who's blind in part, to open their eyes. That means you're all blind. You're blind spiritually. So to open their eyes, because the mother has blinded everybody, and to turn them from darkness to light. They are part of the darkness, it says there in Ephesians. Do you understand that? Unsaved people are part of the darkness. Part of it. They're not in the dark. They're part of the darkness. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Look at that. Satan has tremendous power over unsaved people today. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows how to open their eyes and to turn them. And you know where that is done? In Romans 1:18 to 3:20. Why do you think God gives 64 verses of evil tidings to unsaved people for them to hear? You understand? Because that's what it takes to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness of light, from the power of Satan unto God. But yet the mother has everybody convinced out there that you don't tell lost people they have no righteousness, that their sin is buying them hellfire, the great white throne, and then the lake of fire, and the judgment's coming. No, no, we can't tell that. That offends them. Let me tell you what. Need I even say it? All right? The mother has everybody so screwed up, that's why you don't see it. Some of you people listening here thought you were saved and you were not. You have told me. I see truth comes along and say, man, I wasn't saved. I know what it's like to think you're saved and you're not. I thought I was and I wasn't. Verse 24 in the same chapter. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, here's a governmental ruler. Watch what they're going to think about you. Paul! And he said it with a loud voice. Thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. You're crazy, Paul. All the learning you've got, man, it's caused you to go crazy. No. No, look at Paul's great answer. But he said in verse 25, I am not mad, most noble Festus. Still recognizing him, respecting, giving honor to whom honor is due. Romans chapter 13, right? I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. You see that? Now, some people, much learning doth make thee mad. Yeah. Look at the heretic Phelps. All the books in his library, 1,000 books, all of human history. He's gone crazy. He wants to build Probapticall. Okay? The guy's Looney Tune. Listen. Much learning will make you mad, but it depends on what you're learning. The word of God you learn properly, following that establishment commandment. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, he tells Timothy. All right, Romans chapter 28. Romans chapter 28. Now look at this in verse 16. Romans 28, verse 16. Now Paul arrives in Rome after the shipwreck. Hey, he gets there. And he's going to meet with his fellow Jews, the false religious system. Now watch carefully, because as we finish up in Acts now, we're going to launch into Paul's epistles. Okay, we're going to launch into Paul's epistles. And you're just going to get little inklings of what the mother's doing today. A lot of truth, yes, but Paul is dealing with believers now. And here you saw a lot of it in Acts with this mystery of iniquity. Look at verse 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. Well, look at that. The government would have let him go. But when the Jews spake against it, the false religious system spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Paul was forced to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came short or spake any harm of thee. Very interesting turn of events. Why are these Jews, they're not angry at Paul. And he says, we didn't hear it. But look at verse 20. Like, in other words, the mother no longer is using the false religious system, through these Jews here to get Paul. They're not angry. You know why? Why? Because the mother's got them already mixed up in the corrupt government, knowing it will run its course and they will execute them. That's why. The mother has used the false religious system. He's a prisoner here. Okay? So look at verse 21. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came short or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. So concerning the believers, we know that it's spoken against everywhere, but there's no harm about you anymore, Paul, because the mother's got him. Got him. He's in custody. You see that? So she backs off of the false religious system. They did their job. He's in Rome. Verse 23, when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. You see, some believed the message Paul had, but some didn't even believe the message. The things, they didn't believe on Christ, though. They didn't believe on Jesus. They wouldn't confess them. They believed the things which were spoken. Verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Watch what Paul says about the whole group, even the ones who believe the things which are spoken. It's not good enough. The mother's got you convinced that you can say, I believe Jesus died for me and I'm saved. No, that's the message. Okay? You have to then believe in Jesus. Romans 3, 24 through 26. You believe two things, the message about Christ, and then you place your faith in Christ. Salvation is in a person after you believe the message about that person. Listen to the salvation videos. Okay? Audios. All right. Verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hear ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So not a one got converted. Now this is when Israel's diminishing ends. Remember, Israel fell in Acts 7 with the stoning of Stephen, and they diminished down all the way through the book of Acts. Right here, the diminishing is over. Romans 10 truth ended. Right here, the third time of dealing with these Jews. As far as saying, that's it, I'm going to the Gentiles. Now watch this. Verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, the rest of the nations, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, watch this, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Nothing's changed. To this day, go to Romans 11. To this day, the Jews have great reasoning among themselves as they have finally been just fully diminished away in the lifetime of Paul, and all that's been left is the nation of Israel reasoning among themselves after rejecting Jesus Christ as a nation. Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Paul tells about Israel. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's it. That's applicable right now in November of 2011. Israel as a nation is blind. There is no truth to be found in the nation of Israel today when it comes to salvation and what God is doing today as a nation. I'm not saying there is not individual believers. There very well could be and probably are a small remnant of believers, Jews who believe in Jesus Christ. But as a nation, forget about it, as they said. Verse 30, now watch this. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him. Here he is in prison, 2 years, in his own hired house, but he's still in custody, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. Look at this. No man forbidding him. I'm telling you what, I can bear eyewitness testimony to that. When I was in federal prison, I could teach freely without interruption. Yeah, we had interruptions. Muslims broke into a Bible study, tried to beat up everybody, said I was a devil. Because some of the Muslims in there were no longer Muslims. They were saved. They didn't like it. Other things have happened. I was thrown in a hole, solitary confinement for a total of 9 months. Other things have happened, yeah. But guess what? For the most part, you could freely teach. So here, you see the false religious system no longer is the issue. Yet the false religious system run by the mother, Paul's in custody. And Paul preached until he was finally executed in 2 Timothy in custody. No man forbidding him. There's so many times I have longed in some ways, some weird way that you may not understand, but to be back in federal prison teaching. You live amongst the believers that you teach 24/7, 365. It's a great fellowship. There was times of joy, of fellowship in federal prison that I cannot even explain. It would have to have been experienced. Even though we were in bonds, we were so free. All right, we come to the book of Romans now. Watch now in the epistles of Paul, you're going to get all these details of the mystery of iniquity. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Watch the mother system. Watch how it continuously spirals down and sin keeps going worse. Watch it. Made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. First they make images unto men. You see? But now that isn't good enough, so their sin gets more debaucherous and wicked. So they start worshiping the animal creation, but they look to the sky, birds, and then what? Creeping, four-footed beasts, see, lower than the birds, and then creeping things, bugs. They worship birds, beasts, and bugs. You see how sin keeps spiraling down? It starts with man, these images. Sin is never satisfied. It will keep going down and down and down. That's why the man who commits adultery, after a while, he's not satisfied with that. So he goes and finds another adulteress to do it with. He's not satisfied with that. Then he has what the heathen call a threesome. He ain't satisfied with that. It just keeps getting wicked and wicked and wicked to satisfy that thrill of the lust of their flesh. That's why it keeps going down. Understand something. The mother will get you involved in a spiraling down effect. That it just, there's no bottom. That's why Satan's cast into a bottomless pit in the heart of the earth. If you're in the heart of the earth, there is no bottom. Everywhere you look around, it's sides. That's why Isaiah says you'll be brought down to the sides of the pit. You're not in the bottom because anywhere you go is up. But it's not the bottom. It's just sides when you're inside of a circle. Yep, there you go. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Forever. Look at this. The creature there is singular. That's not the worship of beasts. That's not the worship of birds or bugs. None of that. That would be plural, creatures. The creature that man is tricked into worshiping is the anointed cherub that covereth. That creature, Satan, he used to be called Lucifer. Do you got it? Look at how Satan tricks people into worshiping him. Worshiping him. You want to see it done? Go with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 20. Let's find it. Go to Matthew chapter 20. Let's see, 7, Matthew chapter 27, look with me closely, Matthew 27 verse 29, these are the Roman soldiers, verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped them and put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns and they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! Now here it says they bowed the knee and mocked him. That was their intent. They're mocking him, and they're bowing the knee. Read the same event in Mark. Watch how Satan tricks you into worshiping the creature. Okay, now the creature here, of course, I'm not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just showing how Satan tricks you into things. Okay, look in Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. I believe it's Mark, right? Let's see. Yes. Or is it Luke? Oh, yeah, no, it's Mark 15. Look at verse 17. No, verse 16. Mark 15, 16. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and bowing their knees did what? Worshipped him. Wait a minute. I thought Matthew said they were mocking him. Here Mark says they're worshipping him. You see, God gives you two perspectives and both are true. If you were to, but here's the key. Watch how the mother tricks unsaved people. If you were to ask those soldiers at the time, say if their captain came in or even Pilate came and said, what are you doing by bowing your knee to Jesus of Nazareth? The soldiers would say, we're mocking him. You see that? God says they were worshiping him. But the soldiers wouldn't have said that. The soldiers had no clue they were really worshiping him. My point is that the mother, when it says in Romans 1, who worshipped and served the creature, verse 25, more than the creator. If you ask unsaved people today, do you know that you're worshiping Satan? They'll all tell you, no, we're not. No, we're not. We're having Christmas here in our little bale pole, and we go to Mass, and we go to the Protestant church, too, that teaches the Bible. We're not worshiping, serving Satan, really. Well, ask that to the Roman soldiers who were in hell, except for the one at the cross who confessed that he was the Lord and the Son of God. All right? Ask those Roman soldiers who are in hell. Did you think you were mocking them? They'd say, yeah. But in reality, Satan tricked them. Okay? And God says they were worshiping him. You see my point? You can be tricked. You can be so deceived, you don't know you're deceived. Understand something about being deceived. When you're deceived, you don't know it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be deceived. Do y'all get this? Do you understand? Now, I'm not saying the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, that's not the creature. My point is the soldiers, if you ask them, would say they're mocking him. God says they were worshiping him. And that the soldiers would have had no clue about that. So, that's the reality of things. Romans chapter 11, look at verse 1. Romans 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast him? Let me do a time check. Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? Watch this. I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal, bowed the knee to the image of Baal. He's quoting the Old Testament. It was true back then. It was true during Paul's time. And it's true today. People bow the knee to the image of Baal. Do you ever see him come up to the Pope? They bow their knee and kiss his ring. What do you think that is? Fools. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're seeing some great insight. Remember, these epistles of Paul are filled with doctrine, how to get you established in the faith and have the life of Christ live through you. Paul has got greater things to talk about than just exposing the mother. But when he does, it's great. All right? 1 Corinthians 10, look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians 10, 19. Watch what Paul says here. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is sacrificed in idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, talking about the other nations, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. Do you understand something? That is what's happening today. People are sacrificing things unto devils. But if you were to ask them, Ask your neighbor, hey, you just came back from Catholic Church, or you just came back from that Protestant church, who is no different than a Catholic church. You just came back, did you know that you're sacrificing unto devils? They don't believe that. That's what I'm telling you. Today it is worse than ever. People are so fooled and deceived today, they have no clue that they're sacrificing to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Look at verse 21. Look at the counterfeit. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do you understand this? God has a real communion service. And for the believers, when we do fellowship, Lord willing, next year, we're going to have a Lord's Supper. And I'm going to show you how it's supposed to be. We had them in federal prison and they're phenomenal. And they're a real communion service. But yet some communion services, the Apostle Paul says, are partakers of the table of devils. He says you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. So the mother has a system out there where you're just drinking a cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You got it? Look at the counterfeit here. The Lord's table, table of devils. The cup of the Lord, the cup of devils. Do you got it? That's how deadly it is. And don't say, we don't do that because our communion service is in a Baptist church and we're Protestant. Listen. If you are not understanding salvation, you are doing it unto the Satan. Do you got it? If you think salvation is Romans 10, you're doing it unto Satan, your communion service, because you're not even saved, because you don't do Romans 10. That's how serious this stuff is. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, as we're going through this great book. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 11. Look at this. Look what Paul says. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Paul says, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I'm not ignorant of Satan's devices. What do you think I'm teaching all this to you for? But are you? Has anything that I've taught, this is lesson 36, is there anything that I have taught along this way that you said, wow, I didn't know that? If you did, you're ignorant of Satan's devices. You see that? Think about Easter. Think about the Romans 10 doctrine that we saw in Bible school. Huh? Think about calling yourself a Christian. Huh? Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. He has devices, plural. And remember, as I used to tell many people, that I would arrest them for various crimes. I would tell them, they'd say, I didn't know that was wrong. Ignorance is never a defense. So don't claim it. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, look at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan is not an angel. He makes a transformation into that. Satan is the anointed cherub that covers. He goes through a transformation process to appear as an angel of light. His system is light. No. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. But Satan transforms himself as an angel of light. No. He's not. But he makes a transformation. Look at verse 15. Now this ought to scare the tar out of you. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan has ministers. The false religious system today in the mystery of iniquity has ministers for Satan. Now, think about this. You know who are they? Don't just point to Roman Catholicism. We know that's true. They have priests called Father. We got it. Look at the Protestant so-called churches. Huh? They're filled with them. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Oh, we're doing what's right. We're not following Rome. Just because someone tells you they're a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, check it with the book. Okay? Could it be they're deceived and passing that deception along unto you, as the Apostle Paul says, deceiving and being deceived, as the Apostle Paul says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? Huh? Okay, this stuff is deadly serious. Time check. Okay. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 6. Galatians 1, look at verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You know, I spent 4 hours today teaching chapter 1 of Galatians to the men in the Skype school. We have a fellowship of the school. It's been going on for several months, and we're in Galatians. And it took me 4 hours to teach chapter 1. There's so much there. But for our purposes here in the mother, and ask them what they thought about it. They posted some things on the fellowship about it today. Okay? Verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The mother's ministers will always please men. They will be up in the pulpit trying to please the listeners. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul's gospel is different than Peter's. And all you people out there who think it's not, you've been tricked by the mother. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Now, there's so much there. It's bursting with truth. I want to point out just simply two things for our purposes in the mother. There's only one way to pervert the gospel of Christ. You see chapter, verse 7, I mean, they would pervert the gospel of Christ. There's only one way to pervert the gospel of Christ. How is it? Acts chapter 20, verse 24, listen, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul calls his gospel the gospel of the grace of God. Now watch it. Go to Romans 11, 6. Whether you're talking about election or salvation, there's a principle that grace operates on, and here it is in Romans 11, 6. And if by grace, then is it no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. You want to cancel out grace? You want to make grace no more? All you got to do is add a work in response as a lost man to salvation. Satan knows this. Satan knows that when God dispenses grace, listen to the verse, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God dispenses grace. The only response he'll accept back is faith. Faith that you believe what God believes about the blood of Jesus Christ, and faith in him, in Christ Jesus. That's how you get saved, fully persuaded, like Abraham was. You got it? But understand something. Satan knows the only way to pervert the gospel is get man to do a work in response to God pouring out his grace. And look at Romans 11, 6. Even though it's talking about election in the nation of Israel, the principle of when God, whether in election or in salvation, the election of a nation or in salvation of individual sinners, when God dispenses grace, he will only accept faith. Look at verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise, grace is no more grace. You want to cancel out grace? Respond back in work. And that's how Satan perverts the gospel of Christ. He gets them to do Romans 10. Okay? Oh, I got to confess with my mouth. That's a work. We've already seen that in our Romans lessons. Okay? Get those Romans lessons and listen to them at TSA Bible School. Now, look at the rest of verse 6. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. That is missing in all of the other satanic Bibles. Satan takes that out because that has to do with your response, and he doesn't want you to see it. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So it can't be of works. The Bible says here, the right Bible, the only Bible in English, the King James Bible. All the others are satanic, counterfeit, lying pieces of dung. Wake up. Okay, this stuff is serious. So go back to Galatians 1. The only way Satan perverts the gospel of Christ, and the mother will pervert it, it's big time, is to add a work in response to God pouring out his grace. Okay? And look at here more specific about Paul's gospel and the Jews' religion. Verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Now, wait a minute. The Jews' religion, the Jewish system of worship was set up by God Almighty, but they had perverted it so much, and we saw that. They showed up as Pharisees and Sadducees. Calls it the Jews' religion, and Paul's right. Absolutely. Being more exceedingly zealous, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation. Look at this. Being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. You see that? The false religious system today wants you zealous about the traditions of the people of their religion. And watch how it's got the heretic Phelps. He talks about John Calvin. I'm a Calvinist. Look at the Mennonites. They follow Menno Simons. Their traditions. They're following men. Do you understand me? You don't follow any man. Nothing. The traditions of the Reformation, the tradition of Calvinism, the traditions of anybody. Okay? If they go against the Word of God. Paul had traditions, we'll see in Thessalonians, that were sound. You don't follow men. The traditions of my fathers. That was more important than the Word of God. And that is what the mother is doing today, big time. Don't just think Roman Catholicism. They're dead banging in the water. It's easy to see by now. They got priests called Father, images all over the place. They pray to a female deity, Mary. That's the Queen of Heaven of the Old Testament. That's Diana of the Ephesians, and now it's called Mary. That's easy to see that as satanic. That system has sunk its roots so deep in all these so-called Protestant denominations. Even so-called non-denominational Bible churches promote the mother's doctrines of Romans 10. They don't know how to be saved. They don't have the right Bible. They don't know how to be established in the faith. That stuff is serious, and the mother is everywhere. That's why the scriptures alone are all authority and nothing else. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. And let me tell you what. The Apostle Paul led these believers to salvation. The churches of Galatia were set up by the Apostle Paul. And if they could be bewitched, what do you think? You're any better? I'm talking to you so-called Bible-believing Protestants. You guys are fools. If you're not using the King James Bible, if you don't understand salvation is in the first four chapters of Romans, if you don't know that God then has an establishment commandment for you as a believer, you are deceived by the mother. Just like Galatians, bewitched, tricked. Galatians chapter 4, look at verse 8. Galatians chapter 4, look at verse 8. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, as unsaved people, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods, but now, after that ye have known God, but look at this, or rather are known of God, because you're forgetting all about him. How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. Do you know of any false religious system today that observes days and months and times and years? Yeah, the mother system. All the time, it's a holy day of obligation. Here's the month of Ramadan. The mother is everywhere, not just Roman Catholicism. And times and years, it's the year of this, and this is the time for this. Oh my gosh. Verse 11, I'm afraid of you, and I am too. I am too. Lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Sad. It means just what it says. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're moving into higher level truth. Ephesians 4, look at verse 9. Now that he ascended, Christ Jesus, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Just hang on with me. We're going somewhere with that. See how he might fill all things? There's a second heaven. In that second heaven, there are principalities, thrones, and dominions. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And this is only the whole armor of God is after you have gone through Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and the entire book of Ephesians up to this point. Now you're ready. I get sick when I see all these things. Oh, I wear the armor of God. Armor of God, you don't have anything. You don't even know what it is. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What time are we at here? Listen to me. Listen to me and get it done. Ephesians is the peak of the Bible, and right there you see the peak exactly. Paul tells you what the mother is doing. Satan today has commanded the mother and her whole system to operate this way, that you may be able to, stand. You stand when you're established, when you're rooted and grounded in Him. Those are the only people who stand. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Satan operates today through the mother and to all of her little harlots and abominations through wiles, through trickery. Now listen closely. If that's how Satan is doing it, you don't know you're tricked. Do you got it? If you can't tell me the wile involved there, I assure you, you've been taken in by it. A wile is a trick. You have been fooled. Do you got it? That is what the mother is doing today. That is the number one thing. The mystery of iniquity is involved in. Trickery. Trickery of doctrine. It's teachings today. The doctrine out there is tricking you. That's why it is so simple and why you have to be established in the faith. Oh my gosh. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This isn't against Eric Phelps and other heretics. It is against Satan who runs him and the other heretics. Do you understand? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That wrestling is hand-to-hand combat, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The heavens rule this world, and it's filled with Satan's government against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what's going on. And it operates, though, that spiritual wickedness operates in the realm of trickery. Trickery. Wiles. And it's got you every time. Compare that with Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 16. For by Him, Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, just like you see it on the earth or in the heavenly places. Listen, in the second heaven, what you think is of outer space, there are thrones, dominions, and powers. Satan has princes up there that run those thrones. We saw Daniel already. There's a prince of Grecia and a prince of Persia. There's a prince that runs the United States, a demonic prince, a demon prince, a devil prince. Someone told me the other day, the word demon's not in the Bible. No kidding. The word Bible's not in the Bible either. They're moron. Okay? So understand something. They run this planet. Compare that with Colossians chapter 2 now. Compare that with Colossians chapter 2. I'm running out of time. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, Jesus Christ, because of Calvary, has spoiled those principalities and powers run by Satan. He's robbed them. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Calvary accomplished the robbing of Satan. He took those principalities and powers back. He took title deed away from Satan through the victory at Calvary, because had Satan known about the mystery, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Do you got it? Look at verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Look at all that false religion, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man, I may get cut off. If I get cut off, I'll start again tomorrow. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Your fleshly mind, you don't even have a clue what's going on up in that second heaven. And not holding the head, that's Jesus Christ, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Where if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not. Which all are the pairs with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. There's the wiles, there's the trickery. And it's filled with Baptist churches, Protestant, Catholic, Muslim, all of them, Buddhist, Hindu, it's all out there. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to God, but to the satisfying of the flesh. That is what false religious system does. And let me tell you something. Satan operates in wiles today. And you better get it through your thick skull. Because so many of you even listen have been tricked. Be serious about this stuff. Get established in the faith before it's too late. And one of those wiles tricks you into believing another gospel. And you wake up one day in hellfire, burning there, waiting in the great white throne judgment. And then cast into the lake of fire. This is deadly serious.